This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In John chapter 15, Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." In this analogy, God the Father is the gardener who cares for the vineyard. How are we supposed to respond to God's pruning and His plans for us? Well, today, Pastor Ben will conclude a sermon titled, "Living Life, Abiding in the Vine." Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
And so what? How does the vine dresser walk down the row? He looks at every branch coming off. And he makes an assessment. If I trim this, this is what actually is going to make this fruit grow a little bit more. And actually, this is going to do the purpose that I've intended for it to be bountiful so the harvest can be great. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut this here, and then I'm going to cut this here, and I'm going to cut this here, and this is going to produce ample fruit. You know, that is what the Lord does for us too. The pruning that's taking place in your life is not haphazard. It's not just, well, willy-nilly. It's not that God has a cookie-cutter system of how to bring change in your life and fruitfulness in your life. God actually has a very strategic plan for every one of us to be pruning about so that you and I are more fruitful. Now, don't let this illustration be unconnected from our Christian experience. I'm sure you can think with me, yeah, actually that makes a lot of sense. The Father sovereignly brings external realities into your life. A disease, a broken family, a lost job, a broken marriage, wayward children. Maybe it's something that's actually good. Maybe it's something you just love too much and God has taken away. And the gift then actually replaces the giver. And what always happens? The pruning begins to take place. The pruning takes place. And then when this happens for a true believer, what do? They actually look to the true vine in life, and they're drawn into a deeper dependence and wholeheartedness on Jesus Christ, the true vine. He gives the branch, Jesus gives the branch, the spiritual nutrition to endure the pruning of the Father. And when we turn to Christ amid the pruning, we grow and become more fruitful. Doesn't that happen with you? Life kind of becomes difficult. Some event happens. Okay, that's sovereign pruning taking place. Well, I didn't expect that. Boy, I really should have seen that happen. No, that's God's sovereign pruning. You know, so often in our society, we love to blame everybody else for the pruning taking place in my life or your life. You know what I'm talking about? God does something in my life, it's their fault. God is changing me and something happened and we'd love to find the reality that all my problems are external, but the problem is God is wanting to do a work internally. And that is what the branch says to the vine dresser, and when they're truly connected to the vine, they say, "I am willing to take the pruning. I am willing to take the pruning." And isn't this actually what Jesus did when he died on the cross for our sins? He turned to the Father and he said, "I am willing to go to the cross." And so you and I, we emulate Jesus Christ when we say, "God, I'll take the prune in my life because I know it's going to do something in my life. It's going to make me more fruitful so that I can bring more fruit and be bountiful for your glory." And John begins to point out some of the markers of this fruitfulness later in the chapter. Our prayer life grows. You see this in verse 7. When we talk to God, we're saying, "Lord, I need your help right now. My life's falling apart. Please be with me." Our confidence in Christ's love grows. You know, we become confident. "No, I know God is with me. He will never forsake me. I'm not condemned." That's verse 9. Verse 10, our intake of the word grows because we begin to say, "Boy, I need to know God's thoughts on this." And we start to say, "Man, I need to know God's commandments for my life. And I love God's commandments because they're guiding me." Verse 12, talk about the love for one another. We begin to have more grace for other people who are having difficulties. Isn't that amazing? When we go through difficulties in our life, some specific trial, and then you hear of someone else having that same specific trial, what happens? You have this love that just bubbles up for them. I went through that. I know that. Let me help you. Let me come alongside of you. Sometimes if you haven't gone through a trial, hard. Like, we just don't get it. Oh, that's really hard. Oh, well, just trust Jesus. But man, when you've gone through a trial, you're able to minister immense grace, immense love, immense mercy to someone because you've walked those same roads. I think this is what 2 Corinthians 1 is talking about. The comfort that we receive, we actually give to other people. And so the spiritual fruit, it becomes visible. It all happens because the vine dresser started to do some pruning in your life, in my life. So let me ask you a question. What pruning is the vine dresser doing in your life? What pruning is he doing in your life? Well, this kind of went bad this week. Well, that's the pruning. You know, so often we end up all being like meteorologists on the news and we say, oh, there's this, you know, high pressure system coming and this. Who controls the weather? It's God. Who controls the affairs in our life? It's God. So what is God doing? What pruning is happening? So we've looked at the analogy, the picture of this analogy. We looked at the three characters, and now there's a question that comes up. The means of abiding. Now, really, it feels like the passage should automatically go to verse 4. It should go right to verse 4. But for some reason, Christ has verse 3 there. I actually was talking to a friend of mine this week about this passage, and they opened their Bible and they were reading it, and they had highlighted chapters 1 and 2, and they skipped verse 3, and they had highlighted 4 all the way down. Because sometimes we look at verse 3 and we're like, what does this, what does this have to do with anything? I mean, he was talking about pruning, and now he's talking about cleaning. This doesn't make sense. Well, let's see if we can make sense of it this morning. And what does this verse say? Verse 3. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Now think with me. When did Christ just mention cleaning last? Well, John 13, when he was washing the feet of his disciples, two chapters earlier. And Christ, they're in his disciples, they're in the upper room, and as Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples, Peter becomes very concerned that Jesus is about to wash his feet. And he said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Peter, in Christ tells Peter, you don't understand this now, but someday you will. Basically, trust me, Peter. And then Peter responds to saying, no, you will never wash my feet, Lord. And Christ said, okay, actually, if you're not washed, then you don't belong to me. And of course, the pendulum swings for Peter. And he says, okay, Lord, okay, you got me. Then I want all of me to be washed. I want my feet, my head, everything to be washed. And then Christ responds saying, a person that has been bathed all over only needs his foot washed to be entirely clean. And then he says to the disciples, and you disciples are clean, and not all of you. Christ was making this distinction between the disciples, who 11 of them had been made clean spiritually by Christ. And there was the one, Judas, who was about to betray Christ. And even though Judas has had his feet washed, he has not been spiritually and cleansed internally. Even though Judas was a follower of Christ and listened to the words of Christ, he had not been cleansed by Christ. And so we come to 15:3. You are being pruned, but you are clean. Judas is now left, and the 11 that remain, you are clean. Sometimes the vine dresser begins to prune us in our lives. And what automatically begins to happen when we see the pruning of the vine dresser happen in our lives? Lord, have your love left me? Lord, am I still a child of God? Lord, am I saved? Because all this pruning is happening in my life. And Lord, I thought my life was going to be like this. I thought it was going to be different. I thought it was going to be really, really perfect. But Lord, I've got pruning. Am I really a child of you? And Jesus is answering this question. Yes, those people who are being pruned, they have already been clean. They have already been washed by the blood of the Lamb. They have been cared for spiritually. And we know this in John chapter 10, verse 28. It says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You are cleaned. You have been made clean. And how are we made clean? Well, because of the word I've spoken to you. This cleansing, this justification, this redemption happens through the word of Jesus Christ. There were 11 disciples who were clean. One was not. They saw the signs that Jesus revealed as he was the Messiah. They heard the I am statements of Christ's divinity. They came to the conclusion, this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. I believe. And then in a few chapters, Jesus is going to pray to the Father in his high priestly prayer. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Oh, it is through the word that brings this cleansing. It is through the word that actually also brings this pruning in our life. And so no matter what difficulties, trials come as they are continue on in the mission of Christ, we're going to learn in the book of Acts how there was immense persecution. They have this confident realization that they have been made clean by the word. And my friend, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you have been made clean. Well, there is a vitality to the abiding. We've looked at the reality of the characters, the picture of the abiding. We've looked at this question about what this means, the means of abiding in verse 3, and now there's the vitality of the abiding. And this is really verses 4 to 6, where the analogy actually is explained. And we come to verse 4, and we're given the command we have been anticipating. Abide in me and I in you. There's this imperative that says, do this, abide in me and I in you. What does this mean? It means to depend entirely on the vine, on Jesus Christ. It because Jesus gives the life-giving reality that you need. And why do we need this in life? Because you and I can't produce fruit anywhere else. As a believer, the only way that I will produce fruit is if I'm connected to the vine. In fact, Ben Lamphere, I produce grapes and fruit that's a lot more similar to Israel's. I produce wild grapes. And the reality that all of us here, we produce wild grapes by nature. But Jesus is doing a transforming work in your heart and my heart. And so we are in the vine. We abide in the vine. Now, what is the anticipated results of abiding? And frankly, this might be the most shocking reality of abiding in the vine. What is the anticipated results? Why do I do this? Well, first of all, we're going to see the answers in verse 8 and verse 11. First of all, your life, your fruitful life, brings glory to God. This is what he says in verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. more fruit for God allows him to receive more glory from your life. Imagine an observer or guest coming to a vineyard, and they're walking through the vineyard. They're seeing the vines. They're full of fruit. They just marvel at how big the clusters are hanging off. And they're healthy. And they look around the vineyard for the vine dresser, and they ask him, how do you make sure your vineyard is so fruitful? And he begins to talk about all that he does, the work that he does, the diligent work he does. He stands a little taller, maybe a sense of pride and accomplishment, and tell them about the process of caring for the vine. And he went out at the right time of year to prune all the branches. He made all the right choices, and he's doing this, and this is why this is growing so fruitfully. He watered it and ensured that the vines were growing correctly, and undoubtedly the visitors of that vineyard would walk away and say, wow, that vine dresser is brilliant. He's so dedicated to what he is, to the vines. I don't know a better vine dresser. He knew what he was doing the whole entire time. And when you and I walk through trials and people look at your life and my life and they see the prunings that take place and they say, wow, that's a really hard circumstance. Hey, I want to pray for you. Man, this is really difficult. What can we do to help you? But then they also look at your life and say, wow, they still have a hope in God. They're still resting in God's promises. They actually have a love for others. They're not bitter. They're hopeful. Who receives glory? Because that can only be done by the Spirit of God doing transformational work in someone's life. Who receives the glory when someone is in the worst of circumstance and actually they still say, I love the Lord and he has been so good to me? People would say, that doesn't make any sense. And you're right, it doesn't. Because there has been a transformational work that has happened in someone's life. God's grace really is sufficient. God's grace really is enduring. And God receives all the glory because you are producing beautiful fruit for his name. But not only does the pruning, the fruitfulness, bring glory to God, but there's also, there's a mutual joy for Christ in you. This verse kind of blew me. John 15:11, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. The reason that he has said all of this, the reason he is talking about abiding, the reason he's talking about a fruit and praying and obeying the commandments and loving God and bringing glory to God by the fruitfulness, the reason he's saying all of that is so that the joy of Christ will be in you and that you will experience that joy fully. Well, what's the source of this joy? Well, he says it, these things. All the things he just said. Jesus was about to go to the cross. One of the disciples have already betrayed him. He now was preparing his disciples for the upcoming mission. And he knew that a key for joy for the disciples is that they were to abide in the vine. While they willingly let the vine dresser do his sovereign pruning so they can produce more fruit for the glory of God. And the disciples, they demonstrated this extraordinary joy in times that didn't make any sense. Acts 5:41. They had started receiving persecution. They had to go before the city council, and they're like, get out of our city. And guess what? What was their response? They left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. They said, wow, this is a name that I want to be connected to. And that actually brought them great joy that God would give them, bestow them that level of pruning. They had great joy in that. You know, can you really have joy when life's hard? You feel like you've made a bad mistake, an ill-advised decision. You wish you could go back and change something. Regret sets in. Can you really have joy? Well, if we see that our life in the context that the Father is doing sovereign pruning work, that He actually has a strategic, personal plan for you, and it's not haphazard, and life isn't just this, you know, we're going through life and God is really distant from me. If we see that there is something missionally at stake in all that's happening in my life, then yeah, we can have immense joy. You know, there's been times in my life where I have struggled to have joy in the midst of some difficulty, some circumstance, some hardship. Maybe you're like me. And you know what went through my head when I read verses about I need to have joy in trials? I'm like, yeah, right, okay. I got the joy down in my heart. I really don't, actually. But one of the reasons why I didn't actually want to share joy in my heart wasn't because I was actually disdaining the Lord or what He was doing in my life. But do you know what? I actually didn't want people to think that my life was okay. Wow, Ben's just breezing through all these things, no problem. He's got no issues in my life. Actually, my life stinks right now. I walk around with a, you know, upset. You know, I realized how selfish that was. Because if Jesus could go to the cross for me and He could do the will of the Father with joy, who am I to go through the little prunings of my life and say, Lord, You've given me too much. Lord, I want everybody to know that I'm having a bad day. Oh, Lord, this is not the Spirit of God. Oh, so we can have joy when we have this sovereign view, when we actually pull the eyes off of Ben Lamphere and say, Lord, this is Your pruning work. I'm just part of Your vineyard, and You're doing a work in my life, and it's for Your glory. It's not for my glory. It's for Your glory. And may my life just be a little testament of the fruitful work that You can do in someone that's been transformed by Jesus Christ. That is why we are here. So there's several takeaways from this passage this morning. Maybe it's one that you realize this morning that you're unsure if you're bearing any fruit for Christ. You're actually unsure that if you're born again, you hear this passage and there is a proper sobriety to the reality of saying, actually, am I even the disciple of Christ that's been born again? Have I been looking to other things for my salvation? And maybe for you, friend, I would love to talk. I know there'd be other people that would love to talk and pray with you and talk with you so that you could know that you are a child of God. But maybe you're saying to here today, you know, I am a believer and I have been disdaining the pruning of God in my life. I'm trusting in the work of God, but I've disdained, I've resisted the pruning, and I've actually been just seeing it on a human level and I've not seen it on the God level. And this morning, maybe that's what the Lord is dealing with you.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. Today's speaker, Ben Lamphere, is the executive pastor and the pastor for Soul Care at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Join us every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for our morning worship service. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about today's message or about Palmetto Baptist Church, you can email radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Growing Grace is recorded by the audio team at Palmetto Baptist Church, and it's edited by C.J. DeLeo. Thanks for listening. Join us next time so together we can grow in grace.